Hello and welcome to the third episode of the T-Voom podcast. My name's Pete, I like pictures, and you can find mine, of course, on my blog, tvoom.tumblr.com. The dot is actually very important. And you can find more on that blog, of course. You can also find my videos that I made about photography and about working with Adobe Lightroom. And you can find them as well, of course, on my YouTube channel, T-Voom Photography. So youtube.com/C4channel/T-Voom Photography in one word. And if you want to connect on Twitter, you can do that as well. Twitter.com, Vortex of Our Mind. And all the links are, of course, in the description. This episode is all about color. In the first part, we're going to talk about color photography, or, well, also black and white photography. And maybe, I don't know yet, I mean, you know, this wheel of letters that will always give me a letter, maybe. I don't know, I have no control over that, of course, but maybe if the letter W shows up, we're going to talk about white balance. And I hope, I really sincerely hope that the letter W will show up, because that is what I prepared for. So let's just cross your fingers for me. I want to say a big thank you to all of you who gave me all this encouragement to continue that. It's a lot of fun, and I hope I will be able to do that more frequently. I still hope that I can do one episode per month, at least for the next time, until my storage space on Podomatic is full. So let's start. Let me start this third episode of the T-Voom podcast with one of my photographic pet peeves again. And yes, I do have a lot of them. So here he is. The rant. And this rant is about color photography, or to be more precise, about black and white photography. Because I never understood why some people, and I read that a lot on the web, even in photography books, why some people really believe that only black and white photography is, quote unquote, I read that actually, real photography. Why do people think so? Just because that was the first type of photography, black and white photography. We didn't have color in the beginning. Is that the reason? Or, if that would be like that, then we'd still shoot with pinhole cameras today, because only that way. So no lenses, right? Yeah, okay, got me. Or is there anything beyond that? Why is black and white photography considered to be better or more artful in the minds of some people? Is there something behind that claim? Let's talk about that. You surely know that quote by Ted Grant saying, when you photograph people in color, you photograph their clothes. But when you photograph people in black and white, you photograph their souls. Is that really true? I mean, can you really photograph a soul? We don't have to. We can't take that literally, right? Because we don't have the technology to photograph souls. Not yet. Maybe we will have one day. Would be fascinating. Now, what Ted Grant meant, of course, at least I presume that, I can say that color is distracting, or color can be extremely distracting. And if we take this factor, color, out of our photography, then we reduce it to the essentials. Fact is, the world is not black and white, at least not for those of us who can see color, for people who do not have achromatic vision. So we do see colors. The world is colorful. And there's something that I remembered when preparing for this episode, because a couple of years ago, I was I started as an assistant director for a opera production, very fascinating production. I ended up as producing a lot of multimedia stuff for screenings during that whole thing. It was a multimedia opera with contemporary music, and it was about two of the, and now comes the weird bit, two of the most legendary boxing fights in history of mankind. Joe Louis against Max Schmeling. The US-American boxer Joe Louis against German boxing legend Max Schmeling. And of course, this all was charged with the historical events that took place at that time. World War II, or beginning of World War II, Third Reich in Germany, etc., etc., etc. And our director back then, who was also a historian and sociologist, in one break we had, we were talking about all that, the time and the historic setting. And he said, it's a fascinating thing that we only see black and white footage of that era. Film footage. We almost exclusively see black and white footage of that era. And it's not that color film didn't exist back then. Actually, there is quite a huge amount of color film or film footage available, but we don't, or media decided to not show that. Why is that? Disclaimer, I can't say if that is really 100% true. I trust him, and I trusted him back then because he was really, or is still, a person that I really have highest respect for. But I thought that the thought was very fascinating, because he said, if we show the color footage of that time, we would normalize what was happening back then. Now we see these huge marches and all these crowds of people chanting and cheering their leader, right? The Führer. Everything is in black and white, so it looks distant. It doesn't look really real. We see these soldiers, and everything doesn't, it looks very abstract to us, which is a good thing. We don't want this to be normal. We don't want this to be true. And I will get back to that point in a minute, because I'm aware that this sounds misleading right now. So if we'd show color footage, we'd see that these were all just people like you and me, that they had fun, that they lived their lives, that this wasn't that dark, distant, dystopian era, but it was a part of history that was very real to these people that lived back then. So we don't want that to be true. And I agree to this extent that we don't want normal people, people like you and me, being able to committing these crimes they did back then, right? So that's why, at least that is what he said, this footage is held back. I thought this was a fascinating thing, and I also would love to discuss that with people if you're up to. You can message me on my blog anytime, tvoom.tumblr.com. If you're on Tumblr, if you have a Tumblr blog yourself, you can use the Messenger, of course, the Tumblr Messenger. It is open to everyone. Or you can send me an ask. Because this is a very sensitive topic, of course. I have to say, I would love to engage in discussions, but I will surely not react to any disrespectful stuff. So if you're serious and honest about that, and I would love to discuss that with you, but I will not react to any disrespectful or even demeaning comments. So with that having said, choosing to use either consciously saying, no, I will use black and white photography for this or that, or just going with black and white because you just don't have anything else, is a decision to keep out color. And color is a very, very powerful factor in photography. It is a bit like music, right? If you use music for a movie, you can create emotions. You can generate emotions. You can put something in a movie that, well, probably wasn't even in there. So you can lead the audience into this or that direction. And the same is true for color. And so you have to be very, very cautious with color because color can distract. You can create patterns with color, with color alone, right? We have signal colors like red. They mean something. Why do you think the traffic lights are red to tell you to stop? Because that is a very powerful signal. So if you hold a green apple in your hand and someone takes a photo of that in color, it is a very different message than when you hold a red apple in your hand, right? So keeping out the color is, to an extent, making an abstraction of your photo, because we already talked about that, right? The world is colorful, and photography, per definition, is an abstraction because we have this three-dimensional world and we chose a certain little snippet of that and transform it to a two-dimensional image. And we choose the angle. We choose the depth of field. We use a certain kind of focal length that either emphasizes on the depth of a scenery or that compresses everything and or that keeps things like as we see it with our own eyes. So that is all done consciously or not, but it is a decision we make. So keeping out the factor color means we abstract even more, and everything that is more abstract is, at first glance, more of an eye-catcher than if it's just your usual scenery. That is one thing. And, well, color, as I said, it can distract a lot. So, actually, and this is my claim, and I could ramble on for hours about that, but I want to keep it at that as a bit of food for thought. And please, if you have anything to say about that, I'll invite you to get on this show with me. So if you want to talk with me about that, we can Skype or we can do that on any other kind of voice messenger type of thingy. I can record that and we can talk about that. We can make I can make an interview with just a conversation about that. So when we can do that, record that, I'll edit that. So gonna hear that. So if you want to talk with me about that, we can do that. Just message me on my blog. Again, you can also find my email address, of course, in the about section of my blog. So you can message me there as well. And we don't have to do that. We will definitely find a time to do that. So with that having said, I really believe that those people who claim that black and white photography is more artsy or is real photography simply don't know how to work with color. Because color is a choice. And if I take, and let's go back to the quote by Ted Grant, when you photograph people in color, you photograph their clothes, but when you photograph people in black and white, you photograph their souls. That just shows me that this person obviously never thought about matching the clothing this person wears to match the intention behind the photograph and to match this person's soul. Because you can put them in black and white clothing, right? If you really want that. Or you can put them in neutral clothing. And what a person wears is a lot, or shows a lot, says a lot about their personality. And so I really think that Ted Grant only showed a very, very tiny little fraction of photography here and doesn't really put in consideration that color and working with color, even in post-processing, which was admittedly harder in analog times, but the choice of colors can have a much bigger impact, even referencing again to music in movies, than just quote-unquote using black and white. This episode's rant was a bit longer than I expected it to become. I'm already over 14 minutes and I aim for around 20 minutes for every episode. So between 20 and 30 minutes. So let's continue with, well, one thing maybe in case you heard that sound. It's nothing naughty, right? It's just my squeaky chair. I don't know what you've been thinking, right? Dirty minds. this is a clean podcast. So let's continue with tech terms and techniques photography from A to Z. Today with W, like white balance. What a coincidence, right? In the intro of this episode, I said, like, maybe we'll get W. Well, the letter, not the person. And boom, it's there. And so we can talk about white balance, just as if I would have prepared for that. So, okay, come closer, closer, even closer. Yeah, that's not so close. Okay, I want to tell you a secret. There are no coincidences. Not in life, not in the universe, and especially not on my podcast. So let's talk about white balance. What's the deal with white balance? If you ever shot analog, you probably know that you can't change white balance with your camera. Well, you'd have to change the film. So when you have a daylight film in your camera and you go inside and there's, let's say, fluorescent lighting, you're stuck. Well, you can take photos, but they will have a color cast, and you can't really do anything about that. Well, you could maybe with on-lens filters, but we're not going to talk about that in this episode. So, what's the deal with white balance? You can change white balance with your digital camera. Of course, there are a lot of presets. My camera, for example, has daylight, cloudy, shadow, tungsten, fluorescent, things like that. But it also has automatic white balance and custom white balance. We're going to talk about both of them. So what is the deal with white balance? Why do we even have to white balance? White is white, right? Black is black. Why do I have to white balance my photos or my camera? You probably had that same problem. I had it a lot in the past. Well, sometimes still. Because when I take photos, I usually pay attention to what I'm taking photos of and forget about all the technical stuff. That you take a shot and it has a weird color cast. Like it's orangish or bluish or something like that. How can that be? I mean, like I said, white is white, black is black, blue is blue, green is green, red is red, right? No. To really understand white balance, we have to understand one thing, and that is that objects do not have a color. What? Some of you might scream, how can you say that? In the first part of this episode, you talked about objects. You talked about apples and red apples and green apples. And why do you now say they don't have a color? Because they don't have. We refer to them as having a certain color. And it really doesn't make a difference in outside of photography. But with photography, it really does make a difference. And what difference is that? Okay, let's take a look at black and white. When we see a black object, what do we see? Actually, we see nothing. Nothing at all. When we see black, we see nothing at all. Because if we shine light onto a seemingly black object, what this object does is to absorb all of the light. So it doesn't reflect any light at all. So we don't see anything. That's what we see when we see black. When we see white, what we see is white light. When we see blue, what we see is blue light. What we see when we see red is red light, yellow light, orange light, whatever we have. So we only see light. We see reflected, colorful light. We don't see an object. Let's make an experiment. I don't know where you are at the moment. I am in my home office and I look at my right and I see a white wall. Okay, I turn to my left and I also see a white wall. But if I look closely, the wall on my left is slightly orange. If I'm really honest to myself, the wall on my left is slightly orange and the wall on my right is not so orange. But it's the same wall. Well, it's not the same wall, but it's the wall of the same room. It was painted with the same white. How can it be that the wall on my left has a different color than the wall on my right? Actually, it doesn't have a different color. It just seems to have a different color because the wall on my left is lit by my little desk lamp, and the wall on my right is lit by the sunlight that falls through the window. So the color is the same. The color, the objective color the wall has is the same, or the walls have, are the same, but they look differently because differently colored light is shining on them. And that's why we have the white balance. Does that make sense? Because with different colored or differently colored light in a shooting situation, all the objects in the room, or all the subjects in the room, if we work with people, will look differently. Why doesn't that strike us in real life usually? Because our eyes and brain, and our eyes always work together with the brain, are very, very good in adapting. So when we see a white wall, no matter which color the light is that we shine on that wall, we know that the wall is white. Usually we know that. I have a white piece of paper in front of me. Not now, just let's imagine that, right? And if I shoot blue light onto that paper, the paper is, what I see is blue. I see reflected blue. But I know the piece of paper is white. If I take a photo of that close enough so that I don't see that this is a piece of paper, then I don't know if what I see is actually something that is blue, or that it is something that is white and just blue light shines on it. Does that make sense? So we have to tell our cameras, give our cameras a certain reference. We have to tell our cameras what white is in our scenery so that the camera can change the colors in the scenery accordingly. The art of white balancing, though, is to not always make a neutral photo, because we can do that. We can tell our cameras with almost every kind of lighting situation, hey, this is white. Make this wall white, no matter what. But we want to maintain a certain atmosphere, a certain mood. Example, you take a photo of a sunset. Or we take a photo of a sunset, we can neutralize the red color, the really strong and punchy red of the setting sun, so that the scenery looks neutral and therefore boring. But we don't want to do that. We want to maintain the mood. We want to maintain the red light, the orange light, the warm light, right? What we can do is to either, if we have our cameras on auto white balance, then the camera will probably try to neutralize that strong red, that strong orange. So what we do is tell the camera, no, let's use classic daylight as your reference for white. And then the picture will usually look a bit warmer. But we can enhance that by using, for example, if we have that in our cameras available, the preset for cloudy or the preset for shade, that will make things even more red, more orange. So that is a good thing to know. Sometimes it's hard to find the right white balance, and so we can, and that depends a bit on which kind of camera you use a custom white balance. In my case, I have a Canon DSLR. I take a photo full frame, right? Filling the whole frame with one plain area and telling the camera that is white. So taking the shot, telling the camera, use this as reference for white. And it works pretty well. And of course, you can also use auto white balance depending on which camera you have. This is more accurate or less accurate. The auto white balance with my camera is pretty good, even though sometimes it's a bit off. Especially I'm in forests a lot, taking photos of trees. You know that. And since there is a lot of green around me and sunlight falls through leaves and everything, so everything around me is green, the camera doesn't really get that and says, well, the light is so green, I have to counterbalance that. And so my shots often end up to have a slightly magenta-ish color cast, because magenta is the direct opposite of green. So I don't want to do that. I don't want to have that. So I usually take white balance presets. The thing is, if I shot in RAW, I can change that anyway, because RAW files do not have an assigned or a white balance to them. That only happens if you shoot JPEG, for example. Well, most cameras either give you the possibility to shoot JPEG or RAW. So if you shoot JPEG, you're stuck with your white balance. You can change a bit, but you can only change the existing colors. And that has its limits. If you shot RAW, you can change the white balance to whatever you want. Many photographers I know, even professional photographers, when they shoot RAW, which they do most of the time, they use auto white balance and then change the white balance setting in post-processing. Sometimes it is not that easy to really get the right white balance in post-processing. One way to solve that problem is to just simply take a photo of a gray card, if you have one with you, and that's also one thing, and that's, I think, the last thing that I will say now in this episode about white balance. It depends a bit on the lighting situation. If you are in, for example, a studio setting, and you have effect lights. With effect lights, I mean lights that are there to give your scenery, your subject, your model a certain color cast, right? So if you balance that out, not the best thing, because you want to have that. So you want to take the white balance in the main light. So the neutral light, same goes for when you're outside and you have mixed lighting situations, or when you're inside and you have mixed lighting situations, say from a lamp from the ceiling and from the sunlight that shines through the window, and maybe like here on the desk lamp. So you have to decide which is the main light, which should be the neutral light, and which of these lights should be the ones that add color to a scenery. I usually do that by simply taking a photo, a blurred photo. I really blurred in terms of set the camera out of focus of the ceiling, and say and tell my camera, hey, this is what should be white. That was it for the third episode of the TVOOM podcast. My name is Pete. I like pictures, of course, you know that. And you also know, and I read that you have to repeat that in the outro, so you can find my photos, of course, on my blog, tvoom.tumblr.com. And you can find my videos about photography and about working with Adobe Lightroom on my YouTube channel, TVOOM Photography. So youtube.com/C4channel/TVOOM Photography in one word. And I'm too lazy to repeat my Twitter handle, because I'm not too often on Twitter. The music in this podcast, like in all of my, or almost all of my audio and video productions, is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. And the song that is playing in the background right now is called Surf Shimmy. And like all of his work, it is attributed under a Creative Commons license 3.0. It is always fascinating for me to realize that whenever I finish an episode about a certain topic, that I realize, oh my God, I forgot so many things. So let's talk about color again in one future episode, because there's a lot to say about that. Color spaces, color modes, and might be a bit geeky. I try to keep things as simple and understandable as possible. If you have any questions, any suggestions, anything that you want me to talk about, please don't hesitate to message me either on my blog or on my Twitter, or you can email me. You find my email address on my blog in the about section. So this one's for today. Bye bye. Till next time.